Welcome to Tiny Horse Talk, featuring conversations about ponies and miniature horses. You'll find information and education in each episode, along with a little dash of fun. Join your host, Patricia Milligan of Foxleaf Farm Mini Equine Rescue, an organization dedicated to helping the littlest horses find their way home, as we dive into the world of our smallest equine friends. You'll also hear from Lisa Dearson and Julianne Neal from time to time with tidbits and features from the equine media scene. Tiny Horse Talk is a collaboration between Foxleaf Farm, the Equus Film and Arts Fest, and JA Media Productions. In this episode of Tiny Horse Talk, you'll hear from our host, Patricia Milligan, as she chats with Jody Deagle of Soul Harbor Ranch. Be sure and listen all the way to the end of the podcast to hear about a special offer from one of our sponsors, Cavallo Boots. And now, let's talk tiny horses.
Hi, I'm Patricia Milligan, and I'm with Executive Director and Founder of Foxleaf Farm Mini Horse Rescue. And I'm here today on Tiny Horse Talk to welcome Jody Deagle from Soul Harbor Ranch. And Jody's going to talk about her programs with mini horses and other animals, that it's really quite interesting and quite exciting. And so we'd like to welcome Jody to say hi, Jody. And so, Jody, take it away. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Mostly, like, how did you get started with such a program? What's your background? Start with that, that would be great.
I've had horses for almost 20 years, and I'm a nurse, I'm a giver, I'm a huge animal lover, and we always had dogs as well. And, I wanted to do dog therapy, actually, going back to 2009, and I ended up having a golden retriever that I did a lot of training with and started doing dog therapy. Well, with my background, you know, as a giver, wanting to do therapy work with my now one registered therapy animal, I had a second dog that I was working with, and I, as most of us horse owners do, was, you know, going online and Googling horse things. And I came across a video of a miniature horse in a nursing home. And I thought, oh my gosh, people are using miniatures as therapy animals. I have to do this. So, you know, so kind of fast forward, I'm working with my, you know, two dogs now, and I end up deciding to start a nonprofit. And as I work full time as a legal nurse consultant, and I've been nursing for many, many years, but I knew I couldn't do this alone. I wanted to invite my friends and to help me, first of all, but to also involve more people that may not have an opportunity to work with therapy animals. Many times people want to do therapy work, but they don't have the animal to do it with. So I thought, wow, I'll be able to do this. So I started with three miniature horses, and those three are Turnabout, Lunar, and Mystery. And they're kind of our core trio. I started with them in 2012, and I'd never had minis before, but I just used my dog training background and my horse background of handling skills and kind of translated that to the miniatures. I started looking online to see what national organization we would be able to test with as far as, you know, becoming registered. You know, a lot of people say certified, but I wanted more than just cute little horses going into a nursing home or a hospital. I wanted registered therapy animals that needed to pass objective testing and standards to be called a therapy animal. So we found Pet Partners. Pet Partners is really, they used to be called Delta Society. They're the kind of the pioneer of animal assisted therapy, and but now what they call animal assisted interventions. And so started, you know, kind of doing those courses, looking into the testing parameters that were required, and got those three registered and tested with numerous of our handlers. And so we started visiting in 2013 as registered teams. Now, fast forward to 2017, we moved on to, actually 2016, we moved to a property in Barrington. So mm-hmm. I now had 5 acres that I planned, you know, for the future to be able to put the animals on and have kind of that stable.
Right.
And So the donkeys, the four mini donkeys then came. And then in 2018, rebranded as Soul Harbor Ranch. And Soul stands for sharing of unconditional love, because that's what our animals do best. And for those of us that are animal lovers, we know how good animals are for our soul. So we kind of brand everything around that soul, you know, what it does for our soul. And wow. So Soul Harbor Ranch, the Soul Harbor Ranch Animal Therapy Program, is a IRS nonprofit 501c3. And we now have 10 miniature horses that are registered therapy animals through Pet Partners. We have four miniature donkeys that we use a lot for visits here. They are not registered, so we do not take them out on visits. We've built up to about 50 volunteers now. We have four dogs that I have at home, and several others that belong to other of our volunteers. So we now are all comprehensive. We have our miniature horses that are registered, the therapy donkeys, which are not, but we have the dogs, and we have one registered therapy cat team.
That's amazing. One never hears about therapy cats. Right. Absolutely. And you said it's a registered therapy cat?
It is. So she's, her name is Toka. She's registered with her owner handler through Pet Partners. So because Pet Partners is really that gold standard for animal assisted therapy across the nation, they do register 9 breeds of animals. So our, you know, of course, horses, donkeys, dogs, and cats, but they also include rats, rabbits, birds. Rats.
Yeah. Interesting.
Alpaca and llamas, numerous other guinea pigs.
So getting back to your kitty cat, because I'm fascinated by the idea of a therapy cat. How do you test them, or how do you evaluate them for behavior? I guess we need to talk about that, but I'm curious.
Right. With cats. So, the testing is very equivalent across the board for whatever type of animal that you have. So our horses have to demonstrate, you know, we use commands such as walk, whoa, stay, visit, back, you know, when we work with their hooves, we use single words, you know, in training, that simple word is very easy, but we also use hand commands. So of course the stay is the hand signal along with the verbal, and our horses need to learn to do a 30-second stay, just like a cat has to learn to do a 30-second stay, step away.
And wow.
Yeah. So the training really is very equivalent across the board. You know, where a dog would do a sit, a down, you know, a stay. A horse doesn't have to do a down, luckily.
Right.
not that they can't be taught that, of course, on command, but just the cat is the same. And they have to love affection and being pet and having crowds of people around them. So during this Pet Partners testing, there are volunteers that come in to do that testing to make sure the animals are good in a crowd and literally being surrounded by people. And the cat, the way she visits, she can either be out in her owner's arms, or she can also visit in a stroller, which is what she uses.
Oh, okay. So does she jump on people's laps and snuggle with them?
You know, she can be lifted out and put on somebody's lap, but she's so chill. She literally will just stay. Kind of the same with our horses, our dogs. When we use the word visit, they understand that they're coming in to get love and affection and pets. And so they learn what that means.
Oh, that's interesting. Because I heard you say visit, and I thought, I wonder quite what that means. So you're teaching them that when you say visit, in their brain, they goes, okay, now I have to be on good behavior. I'm going to be surrounded by people, and all this is going to go on.
Right. Wow. And they have to love that. They have to seek out that affection as we help them. And, you know, our goal as animal handlers is to do numerous things. So we have to go into situations where it might be considered a sad environment, like a hospital or hospice.
Right.
But we're there to bring that moment of joy where it takes them away from their surroundings and they get a mm-hmm. chance to focus on this sharing of unconditional love. And, you know, we have to teach our handlers to go into that environment, but also keep their animal safe, keep their animal happy, and also make it be the very best visit that it can be for the person we're visiting. So you'll see us in our video, for instance, on our website. Please take a look at that. It's so heartwarming, and it really embodies the connection, that soul-to-soul connection that our animals feel as they're on a visit and that our handlers help facilitate. You know, it's just this heartwarming, and you see this amazing love and connection. It's very, very special. So it's a lot for our handlers, you know, to go through. But that's why our organization, we have such extensive training and then the testing that they must go through for pet partners. We have a total of 39 registered handlers, but a total of 89 registered therapy teams, meaning I test every 2 years on my 12 animals, you know, so I'm,
oh, wow. Okay.
I'm 12 of those teams.
I say, okay. So you teach people to be volunteers. Do you do that yourself to be registered therapy volunteers?
Yeah. Yep. Wow. So we do that all here at Soul Harbor Ranch. We have, you know, these intro sessions where we first of all, let people know the commitment that's going to be required. Mm-hmm. But then we have weekly training. We have a lot of visits. When you look in a given year, we will have 210 activities, which means about 180 of those are visits and the rest are the training session, you know, with training sessions in between there. So yes, we do that all here on site.
So are you responsible? Do you do the training or do you bring people from the outside to train or?
We do all the training. So I started with my therapy dog and working with dog trainers for many, many years and continuing to do so because as we know with animals, the training never stops.
Right.
So we really embody that aspect of it too, that training never stops. When we get volunteers that come in and they're like, well, this walk and woe and walk and woe, this is getting boring. We're like, this is the very foundation
right.
of what we are going to be doing. When we walk into a setting, we're going to walk. When we stop and we visit, we're going to woe. And can your animal stand quietly next to you and tolerate commotion and music and whatever, you know, it may be.
So when you start off with your minis, how do you find them? I noticed on your website, you said they're all really tiny. 30 inches, 31 inches smaller than that. So obviously you're on the hunt for tiny minis.
Right. So, well, you know, when I started, first of all, I didn't know anything about miniatures. And I ended up finding a breeder that was only a little over about an hour and a half away from us in Burlington, Wisconsin. It was called Hawk Farms. And they're no longer breeding, but for, you know, over 35 years, they were showing miniatures, breeding miniatures, and it was close to home. And I went up and saw them and purchased three of them. So I didn't really realize how small 26 inches is for a miniature. That's our tiniest. That's mystery.
That's very tiny.
Yeah. Turnabout is 31 inches and Lunar is 32 inches. So those were the original trio. In the mini world, again, they were my first miniatures. I didn't really know, you know, again, how small that was. So then going forward, what happened is many of the miniatures are actually all related from that farm, all of them except two, Cinderbella and Charmer. And Cinderbella is a Fellabella. So our friends at Shades of Blue Ranch in Hebron, Illinois, they became wonderful friends and they also breed Argentinian Fellabellas.
Okay.
And so our Cinderbella is a Fellabella and she's about 33 inches.
Okay. Do you, when you look for a mini, obviously you're looking for a tiny package because that's just easier. How do you assess their temperament? And how do you assess when you look at a mini, this will be a good therapy horse? I know in rescue, we have a lot of folks that call and say, I want to adopt a mini to be a therapy horse.
Right.
Do you have any? And it's like, well, no, actually, I don't at this point. But, you know, it could be that I'm overlooking what we should be looking at for temperament that would make good therapy horses.
Right.
So
well, and you know, that's
about that.
Right. That's a great question because, you know, stepping back for a minute, when people think about a therapy horse, a miniature therapy horse, they think tiny. Right? Everybody wants tiny. Well, we know that as we go tinier, there are more potential for some health problems. And mm-hmm. I will tell you, Mystery at 26 inches has probably had the most. She has a little bit of a crooked, you know, the underbite jaw yep. and has had 9 teeth pulled. So most of ours average right around the 30 to 31, 32 okay. mark. But, you know, so stepping back, size is what most people think of for their miniature.
Yes. Absolutely.
But size, really, the tiny isn't always the best either, because when we go into a hospital or we're working with those with special needs, many of them are in these big wheelchairs. They're in a hospital bed. Mystery can't even get her chin up to the bed, let alone up and over the patient
right. sure.
to really interact. So when we go to a hospital visit or a nursing home, we'll often find if we do have one smaller one, we'll also have one of our larger ones who can really get over the bed and connect. Now, so that's the first part. The second part, going to the temperament, so, so important. And as we know, our minis, we have 10, they're like our children. They're like people. Mm-hmm. They all have different temperaments.
Absolutely.
We started with most of them very young, had no idea what the potential would be for therapy work. But we worked with them to find out what their strengths are to mm-hmm. then go into therapy work, what best suits them. So for instance,
okay.
we look at Mystery. Mystery is unflappable. She'll go up and down stairs. Her temperament, she will tolerate large crowds, small crowds, loud music, you know, quiet visits, anything and everything. Turnabout on the other hand, you know, we got both of them when they were like yearlings, you know, so mm-hmm. we didn't know what their potential. Turnabout is a higher energy horse. He loves the hospital visits, connects on a very quiet level, on that quiet emotional level, but the loud visits, the tons of crowds going to the racetrack where we've done visits, where loudspeakers are blaring, that is not his favorite visit. So somebody might say he's not a good therapy horse. He can't handle every environment. But that's what people have to understand, is if they have these hopes and aspirations for their therapy horse to go into every situation, that horse may not do that, but another horse might. So.
Right.
We have to look at the personality attributes that those horses have. Just like some of us are more outgoing than others, right?
Right. Sure. Some of us can take crowds. Some of us just run away from people. Sure.
So we have to let the handlers, the owners, know that the expectations really have to be created around the horse and what that horse temperament is.
Right. That makes a lot of sense, because then you're respecting the animal.
Right, yeah. But they can be trained. So Turnabout, even though he is a higher energy, we put more of our experienced horse handlers with him.
Uh-huh.
Whereas Mystery, somebody who's never had horse experience, you know, they can handle her.
But she's sort of like the beginner husband proof.
She is. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And Mystery and Lunar, you know, these are the original trio. Mystery and Lunar are kind of our two that we connect our newest handlers with at first.
Mm-hmm.
We also took in 2 years ago, we brought in our horse Faith. Her mom, Unique, is 17. You know, so don't discount the older horses. They've been around the block. They've been handled. She was with our wonderful friends and not breeding anymore up in Hebron. And we brought her in. Wow, what a gem. You know, just by virtue of her handling experience, within that minimum 6 months, she became a registered therapy horse. And now many of our newest handlers are working with her.
That's interesting. We took in a 24-year-old mare who had been purchased at auction when she was pregnant and foaled out. And then when the foal was old enough to wean, the woman who bought her didn't want her, just wanted to get rid of her and said, would you take her? And it's like, of course I'd take her. But my goodness gracious, she's 24. She's so sweet. Right. And she does have that kind of perfectly calm, chill temperament. And she seeks people out. Mm-hmm. She loves people. And when I've had folks call me and say, I'm looking for a therapy horse. Mm-hmm. And I've suggested Abby. And they say, oh, she's too old. And so it's encouraging for me to hear that, because now I can say, no. Just because she's old, she still has a lot to give.
And right. You just gave me chills because this horse is so sweet. She loves to give kisses.
Cute.
She had kind of this deformed foot, you know, and so she founders at some point way back in her life. We don't know when. Our friends who took her in, we don't know the whole story, but we, you know, had the trimmer work on her feet and everything, you know, she's wonderful. And so again, at 17, she's our oldest mare. It's wonderful because we get, you know, her baby, who is now 8, is in our herd. But please have people understand that those older horses are definitely going to be fabulous therapy animals because they've been around the block and handled.
Yep. They sort of, and I don't know what Abby's seen in her life, but sometimes you look at her and she looks at you with this look that has this wisdom and experience. Like, you don't know this, what I've been through, and bring it on. I'm prepared. And she's the sweetest thing. And I'm trying to encourage people to look at Abby. And she's not necessarily she's a little bit old, like she's 24 and not the cutest, but she's just, you see her and you just see this little vision of sweetness.
Right.
And I'm always trying to encourage her. So thank you. I'm going to encourage folks to give her a second look.
Yeah. And, you know, and remember, as you get youngsters in too, people always want the youngsters. Well, let me tell you, that first year of any youngster, whether it's a child, whether it's a dog, a cat, we all know that first year of, foal, as a puppy, those are challenging. And so, take that, you know, that little bit more mature animal, it's much easier if, you know, even for those that have not been handled, they still come around quicker than a youngster will. And we've seen that as well.
That makes a lot of sense because the youngster is still busy trying to explore the world and figure out what's going on.
And, you know, I do want to mention when we got Lunar, she was, those were the first three, and she was almost 4. She was not a confident horse. Mm-hmm. She still gets her confidence from us, like all of our animals do. So that's why I always, you know, tell our handlers, be confident, because our dogs, our cat, they want to see that from you. Mm-hmm. But she was, when she came to us, she was really the low girl on the totem pole kind of thing. And she really has blossomed with so much love. So in my finding is training dogs, animals in general, those quiet ones that are not confident, that don't want to be caught at all, those, they need more coaxing. But then once you do build that relationship with them,
right,
they need that confidence from you. So it builds this incredible connection between you and your animal. So just know that with patience and time, they will be fabulous and easier to handle than the animal who is very confident and kind of outspoken and gregarious and
highly opinionated. Yes.
Say hi.
Yes. No, I can see that. The highly opinionated ones sometimes are a little harder to reach. So when an animal comes to you and you say, here's my new therapy horse, it's a long way from stepping off a horse trailer to stepping inside a hospital room. So what's the process? They just don't magically wake up one day and go, okay, bring it on. I mean, you have elevators, you have equipment with making noises, you have wheelchairs, you have strange looking people in garbs. How do you?
You just hit on all of the things that make a training session. So when they first come to us, again, the very foundation is the walk and the woe. And we use not only hand signals, such as, you know, when we say, you know, stay, but we use the verbal command, walk, woe, stay, visit, which means that, you know, lots of love is coming. They're going to get lots of pets and hugs. And so every training session is built on that foundation. So our volunteers, we first start every session with like kind of a grooming session where the handler is connecting with the animal. We don't just take them out and start doing commands. So you want to first build that relationship, whether it's 5 or 10 minutes, love them, pet them, brush them, groom them, get them used to your voice. Because again, we've got 50 handlers, so we're, you know, rotating a lot of people. And then we start with the walks and the woes, and then we build into the stay. So you never ask for an animal for that stay, you know, right away.
Right.
We slowly move into the back and we start the visiting, bringing out those wheelchairs, walkers. We use tarps, you know, running through, we bump into them with wheelchairs. We put them in tight spaces in the barn, kind of behind.
You have wheelchairs at your facility that you bring out?
We do.
Okay,
yeah.
Sure.
And you can get, at, you know, if you go to a nursing home and you let them know that you're waiting for a wheelchair or a walker to be donated, many of them will be happy to do that at some point.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
But walkers, you know, they clang them on the ground.
Right.
For the testing, you have to kind of bump into them. So this is what happens. And the minimum before you can ever test as a therapy animal is a minimum training of 6 months. Now, many of our animals, especially a baby, is probably not going to be registered until they're about a year and a half to two.
Okay.
You know, I have a one of my dogs is now 2 years old, and, you know, with COVID things kind of got put on hold, but she's really now much more mature. And now is the training down, even at a year and a half, she wasn't ready. So this is never on our time. This is always on their time. And
You see that a lot with horse training. People have an agenda, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. And it's like,
exactly.
The horse needs whatever time it needs.
Right. And that's such a good point. So are some of those horses can roll off, you know, like Unique, who is the 17-year-old in 6 months, she was testing, passing every single, you know, every single thing. Some of our younger ones, again, it might have taken a little bit longer. Also, some horses in general are a little bit nervous, more nervous in their personalities.
Sure.
We need to be able to work with them and have them be reliably potty trained. So in the animal therapy world, you know, that's
always... Yes, I was going to ask about that.
Yeah. When you see an animal with a potty bag in a facility, Pet Partners highly discourages that, doesn't allow it, because if they poop and they're carrying this poop around in this potty bag,
it's kind of unpleasant.
From an infection control standpoint, that's awful.
Yeah.
So how do you potty train a horse? Well, what happens is they actually learn, the more visits that you do, they learn to go potty. We have a mini van. So we, you know, the joke is it's my midlife crisis two-seater. It's a minivan. We took out the back seats and retrofitted it. So, you know, so we have a ramp. They ride in the minivan. We usually take two horses on a visit, and they learn to go potty before and after in the minivan. Now, if they have to go potty during a visit, we watch their personality, their behavior, their body language to let us know. If there have been accidents, you know, I will tell you that, but we carry a bucket always with us. We carry cleaning supplies, you know, towels, Lysol, wipes, but we always have somebody behind on poop patrol, we call it, just to watch over. And some of our horses are better, where we will not take them inside facilities until they're very reliably trained.
Sure. That makes sense.
And
I have a little,
you know, those
a little
are
mini
outside
that,
visits if they're for the others.
I have a mini that we rescued the mare. I thought initially she was just wormy. And so I tried a few doses of worming medicine to see if I could make the belly go away. Until finally it became apparent that I could worm this little mare like every day, and that belly was just getting bigger. So it was obvious that she was pregnant.
Right.
So up comes Peanut, who was a cute little girl. And we still have that pair. And so I started bringing Peanut into the house. I thought, if I'm going to ever start thinking about bringing her as a therapy animal, I'll just start in my house. Because if she's not good in my house, maybe she's not going to be good anywhere else. And now she comes in the house like she owns the place, you know, wanting to know where her bedroom's going to be. And she's never had a poop issue. So, and she does it because we have hardwood floors. And I'm going to ask you about this. What do you do with your horses? Because Peanut would slip and slide. So I bought some boots for her.
Yeah. So we've learned through the years, you know, what has worked. And initially we started because I saw online that people were using Build-A-Bear sneakers. And so we put Build-A-Bear sneakers on our horses for visits. Now, some of our horses, their hooves are a little too big, especially when you have those larger, you know, usually up like 31, 32, they're not often going to fit into those features. So we started looking at different hoof boots. And again, through the years, we've looked at numerous ones. Mm-hmm. Recently, in the last couple of years, and as designers and hoof companies, you know, the boot companies have come around, we love Cavallos.
Oh, so, I was going to say Cavallo, cute little boots with the sparkles. I love them.
Cavallo CLBs, cute little boots.
They're the best.
If you have the smaller minis that can fit into the sneakers, first of all, Build-A-Bear started using felt on the bottom of their sneakers as a cheaper way. That doesn't work so well.
That doesn't work. No.
We then found a company called Teddy Mountain that they have the sneakers with the, you know, the sole, that rubber sole. Unfortunately, they're not making them any longer. So more and more people are going to the CLBs from Cavallo, the cute little boots, and they're blingy. Some of them have
I love them.
They have the, you know, this blue sparkly fabric now and this pink sparkly fabric now. So
yes, we have a lot of the Cavallo boots, and we decorate our minis up, especially for photos.
Yes.
You know, with the sparkles, and they're just so freaking cute. Oh my goodness.
They're
adorable.
The great thing about them, they don't have a big chunky sole like some of them had.
Right.
And the Velcro actually is much nicer than the ones that wear the sneakers. But I have to say, horses and sneakers, there's something about the tennis shoes that gets people every time, you know?
Yeah, the high tops, the Lumia Converse high tops are just winners. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I've noticed that with because I have some Build-A-Bear shoes that I bought initially, a couple of the minis, and they look really, really cute. Right.
You can find a lot of those on eBay now. Mm-hmm. So if you can find the old sneakers, people are going on to eBay and using that as a source for the sneakers. But they really do provide a function. It keeps them from slipping on the floors, not so much walking forward, but when we ask them to back up in a very tight room, is the most significant. They're cute. And then there's also an infection control standpoint. If they are in our minivan and they poop, and, you know, yes, we don't want to be cleaning out hooves and everything. So if
any
poop that's from the minivan, we put sneakers on. We always keep those sneakers just for visits.
Just for visits. Gotcha. And that makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
So how do you get them used to elevators?
Oh,
that would be interesting, I'm sure.
And all of this, you know, we really rely on our nursing home partners, because nursing homes really have the most flexibility in allowing teams to come in. Hospitals, of course, we have to go through much more stringent and rigid rules, policies, and procedures to have the hospitals take in our horses, not to mention they need to change their infection control policy. So we have a very strict infection control policy. I'm a nurse. I live infection control basically.
Right.
So that was very, very important to me. Now, nursing homes are, many of the local nursing homes around us will allow us to come and do our training. They know that our horses will carry buckets with us as we're going through training, but we know that when they get in the elevator, that many times the first time they're going to poop. So we're ready. And you know, we make sure like that we put down a tarp or something that would be necessary, but it's just desensitization training. And the elevator is no scarier than a walker or a wheelchair for the first time, you know? So you kind of go through that process of getting them to do the walks and woes, getting them confident with you, to building up to having a wheelchair and a walker around, to riding in a minivan, going up a ramp, to going to a new facility and going in an elevator. So, you know, that's a more advanced skill, of course.
Right. So I have to ask, have you had any experiences where you close your eyes and go, oh my God, I just can't believe that happened to me today with any of your minis?
Like what kind of, you know?
Well, if you're in a nursing home and you can't believe the mini just did something that you just thought this mini, you know, you have those moments.
Well, I will tell you, there was one instance in the hospital where we have to be careful with mares when they're in season because they like to pee more, right? So, and you know, we have 9 mares and 1 gelding and then 2 for our minis. And there was one hospital visit, Grace, truly very potty trained, never goes potty on a visit. She peed twice. And horses don't usually pee when they're working. We're never usually worried about them peeing.
No.
And it was in the hospital situation. And
wow.
Yes, I was horrified because we would never, you know, that had never, ever happened. And we, looking back, you know, we are pretty sure she was probably in season, you know, it's like you learn like these things as you go on and right. You do this more often, but she peed not just once, but twice in the same setting. And it was just so strange, but we had all the towels ready. We had all right. of the Clorox wipes and we got housekeeping there and we apologized profusely. And they knew that it was kind of a one-off for our horses to do that.
So they had experience with you before.
Of course.
So that made it a lot easier. Sure.
Yeah.
Right.
So that, you know, and I do know that some of the, you know, child life activity directors, like they talk to one another because, you know that that's going to happen. But all we can say is, hey, listen, animals are animals. We know that they're well-trained and the key word is reliably potty trained. We don't right. expect it, but we're always prepared.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. So as far as when you bring your minis into these settings, you work with a wide range of populations. How do you get them used to children in particular? Because children can be so unpredictable in their movements. And I know that that sometimes will set some of the horses off because they get a little anxious because you have all these little arms right. reaching and they're small sizes. And some of the minis go, at least as I'm getting them acclimated and socialized here at Rescue, will look at these children and look at me like, what is that?
Right.
How do I deal with this?
Yeah. And, you know, truly it starts really, we don't have children per se as volunteers. Our minimum right. age is 14. So what, you're right. What do? Well, you should see us at visits running around and bending over and grabbing and kind of yelling and running at them, not only front, but
oh, sure. Okay.
So, you know,
that makes sense.
People laugh when they see a training session of ours and they're like, oh yeah, there goes Jody again, you know, because I'm running around with a wheelchair or a walker, banging on the ground, waving my hands, you know, screaming, it's a horse, it's a horse, oh my gosh, it's a horse, you know, or a dog, oh my gosh, it's a dog. Because remember, we're working with any animal, so we're desensitizing in the same way. So right. if any really experienced dog handlers, even if they've never been around horses, mm-hmm. you're going to find that those handlers are going to move forward quickly because sure. they have the handling skills. And we really ensure that in front of us, okay, as we walk our animals next to our side, whether it's a horse or a dog, that we keep that space in front of us, like kind of like this area here. That's our space. That's not our animal space. And so we teach them to always stay next to us, that we are there with them. You'll see us bending down and kneeling with them to give them the confidence. Because if we just stand up and a child or an adult comes running, they're kind of down there on their own, right? Especially at 26 inches. So we are down there. We encourage all of our handlers, kneel down, bend down. Because that animal's relying on you to help them to not be afraid at first. And
right.
then they get used to it. Again, it's all desensitization. It's like a parade. You know, you think about a horse in a parade and how counterintuitive that is, you know, because it's loud and crazy. But those horses have been desensitized. A police horse, mounted police force. I mean, you know, what that training that they have to go through is really remarkable. And it's the same for our minis for therapy work.
For more exciting content, tune in to Winnie Tales, Horse Stories, Pony Legends, and Unicorn Yarns, featuring the work of international equine clinician Bruce Anderson. You'll find these podcasts and more at equusfilmfestival.net or on any of your favorite podcast directories.
Have you ever taken in a mini that you thought was going to be perfect and then after working through it, realize this mini just is not a therapy mini?
No.
Oh, wow. That's great.
No.
Because oftentimes you see police horses that kind of fail out of the program because they just right. don't have everything.
So think about the word failing, right?
Right.
So turn that around and think about what are the strengths of that horse. And as I mentioned to you, so turnabout may fail because he can't go into a loud crowd. He doesn't like it. So he might start getting fidgety and sidestepping as we're walking in and there's loud music blaring. So the traditional therapy horse, does he fit that mold? No. Cinderbella will take any of the loud music. She's unflappable. We just sent her under a parachute the other day at a library visit. They were doing the parachute, flapping and flapping, and she went right under it. But she's a little headstrong and doesn't love those close visits for a long time. So you tailor your animal, and I can tell you those almost bomb-proof horses, those almost seeing eye dogs that didn't make it, you repurpose, right? And you figure out what those animal strengths are. Cinderbella can go in anywhere. Turnabout can go in anywhere that is good for her. And they're fabulous therapy horses.
So you find out what the situation is and you take, okay, this horse is perfect for this. You're going to go here, but you are going to go over here. Oh, that's really good. That gives everybody a chance to be successful.
Right. So if you're only looking for one therapy horse, of course we would always say they go in pairs, but you only have you have two chances. Just know that the expectations will only be, set by your animal, because we wouldn't want to be forced into situations that we don't like day after day after day.
Right. Sure. That would make us uncomfortable.
On the other hand, you have to challenge them to go into those situations and try and desensitize. So it's a fine balance of pushing, but then also understanding.
So I heard you say you send them in pairs. Do you ever take just one or do you always do a pair?
We do take them in one occasionally. Our more experienced Lunar, Mystery, even Unique, who's only been with us, for the couple years, but we will take them in singles. And sometimes we'll take one horse, one dog, one cat. We kind of do the variety. It just kind of depends on how many volunteers will be at that visit, what kind of visit it is.
How long do your visits usually last?
Most are an hour.
An hour.
So we kind of set the pace. We know that, especially indoors, that 1 hour is going to be a good time for a potty break. We just were literally indoor for 2 hours with Mystery and Grace. No potty, nothing potty. I mean, it was Mystery and Lunar. Again, 2 hours. So that's quite remarkable. And they both went potty in the minivan before, and they both, as soon as they got in the minivan, they went after.
Wow. Now, when you teach them to potty kind of on command is what you're basically doing. Yeah. How in the world do you do that? Because I know a lot of folks.
Good potty.
Do you reward them with anything besides just words or like?
No, most of what we do is all verbal. So we do not reward with treats. We don't do any treats because we don't want hands affiliated with treats or anyway.
Right.
So everything we do is mostly by contact, by hugging and loving, but lots of praise by words and excitement in our voice. So literally they go potty in the minivan and we're like proud parents. Yay, good potty.
So I guess it helps if you've toilet trained a 2-year-old, right? same kind of approach. Good boy, good girl.
It's amazing how it all just translates and transcends from children to dogs to horses to cats, to whatever.
Well, we're all animals, just on varying scale, right? So
exactly.
I think there's a lot of similarities between us all. And I think if we actually stop and look, we'll see a lot of things. I know oftentimes in the workplace, you watch a gathering of people and you recognize your animal behavior. Oh yeah, my horses do this when they're out in the field, posturing for this position, posturing for that position.
Exactly. And that's where we really, people are amazed that we have 10 miniature horses. And just like you, did you ever have one that failed? And no, because we tailor them for specific visits. Now, granted, not all will be that way, right? I mean, not all will. But my dog, for instance, Marshall, was the craziest up until he was 2. He is a fabulous therapy dog, but crazy. And he's a little bit like Turnabout. The situations, the more energy, they feed off that more, more of that energy. The quieter visits definitely are the better option.
thank you for joining us for this episode of Tiny Horse Talk. Tune in next time for more about Soul Harbor Ranch as we continue our conversation with Jody Deagle. And if you're intrigued by the Cavallo boots mentioned in this episode, whether you're into sparkles and bling or a variety of other colors, here's your chance to win a pair for your own horse or pony. Go to our Facebook page where you'll find a post featuring episode 4 of Tiny Horse Talk. Share that post with your friends and tag Tiny Horse Talk and you'll be entered into a drawing. One lucky listener will win a pair of Cavallo boots with the chance to choose the best fit for their own favorite equine. Share away and best of luck.